Hello there, my name is Alex DeBoer. Thank you for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM. Today is Thursday, May 21st, Accessibility Awareness Day. COVID-19 has changed the way we live. Since mid-March, Canadian governments have taken far-reaching measures to prevent COVID from spreading. While some of these measures are starting to loosen, for the last 2 months, we haven't been able to do a lot of things we normally take for granted, like going out to get dinner at a restaurant, or hopping on a crowded bus, or sitting in a lecture at school. We haven't even been able to see most of our friends and family in person. But for a lot of people, these social distancing measures aren't new. Bailey Martin started wearing an N95 face mask years ago, and she's all too familiar with self-isolating. Bailey has a neurological disorder that means any illness she contracts will affect her more intensely than it would an average person. I reached out to Bailey to find out what it's like to see the rest of the world implement precautions she's been following for years. So I was wondering if you can just start out by please telling me who you are. Take a listen.
Yeah, my name's Bailey Martin. I'm a UBC student. I'm also a freelance journalist, and I'm also disabled.
Yeah, can you tell me a bit about your disability?
I have complex regional pain syndrome, which is a chronic illness, but for me, it's also a disability. So I have weakness down my entire left side, and my left leg's paralyzed. And I have a few other things that trickle out from that, but that's the main situation that I'm working with.
Okay, yeah, thanks for describing that. But so essentially, would you say you have an invisible disability, or can people like visually see that you're disabled?
I think it actually really depends.
Okay.
Sometimes people pick it up like right away. Other times people I've known for years are like, wait a second. So it really depends, but I do have a service dog. So
okay.
Usually people know that there's something, but they're not always able to pick up what it is.
Okay, interesting, yeah.
Weird middle ground.
Right, yeah. I asked that because I did see one of your tweets from about a month ago where you were trying to shop at a Save On Foods during a time slot that was reserved for people who are vulnerable. So, you know, elderly people, immunocompromised people. And it seems like some people in line for that shopping hour identified you as not being vulnerable enough or whatever. Could you tell me about that experience?
Yeah, so I got up at like 6 a.m. to go to this shopping hour that was dedicated for seniors or anyone who had a disability. And when I got there was like a massive line of probably like 15 to 20 people at like 7 o'clock in the morning, all of which were seniors, except for one person who just seemed very confused as to what was happening and eventually left. He just wanted Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I was approached by multiple people who weren't necessarily the kindest in their approach, telling me that I needed to leave, that this was meant for seniors. All of them apologized after explained that I am immunocompromised and disabled and that like I needed to be there too. And they genuinely seemed like they felt really bad. And I understand how this was kind of like early of the quarantine. So I understand how there was like still a lot of push by young people to be like, everything's fine and we're going to act normal. So I understand why they may have been frustrated by my presence. But they actually wouldn't let me into the grocery store. There was like security there who I'm pretty sure was just someone who worked at Save On Foods. And they like basically told me I had to prove that I was disabled, which was like really weird. And they didn't believe me and eventually were like, oh, like you have to have a lung disease. And I understand that it was like, there was a lot of misinformation just happening. But it was like an off-putting experience. And I also noticed that like the shelves were basically empty. So they use that same hour to restock, which doesn't really give a lot of options for people who are shopping who need to be there during those hours. And so I like didn't continue to use that time slot because every time I went, the things that I needed weren't there. So yeah, it was a definitely an interesting experience, but definitely not something I did again.
That sounds kind of awful, but yeah, I understand. Like you said, it was the beginning of COVID and maybe the kinks were being worked out, but still. I'm wondering, were you with your service dog at the time? Oh, okay. They just thought maybe you didn't have the right kind of disability, I guess.
I honestly have no idea what they were thinking, but yeah.
Well, and you also like you wrote a piece for CBC last month, which I read, and it's about kind of your experiences with COVID and feeling dismissed, and that kind of overlaps with some of what you're saying, I think. But could you tell me a bit about that article?
Yeah, so I wrote an op-ed for CBC about what it's like to be chronically ill during COVID. And I think that there was this large push at the beginning that everyone's lives were dramatically altered. But for myself and a lot of other disabled people I know, there wasn't actually that big of a change. A lot of the ways that I've lived my life for years have looked very similar to the type of quarantine that we're in now. Things like going to restaurants at off hours so they're not crowded, having to wear a mask in public all the time, even when I know that I'm going to be an outcast in that situation. So it's a little nice now that that is not the case. And that even when COVID ends, like this isn't going to end for a lot of people, that there's a flu season every year, and the same like fear that a lot of people are experiencing right now is a fear that's going to be carried through flu seasons for years for lots of people. And even now, as we're seeing the different stages open up to reintegrate back into society, some of those stages are pretty non-existent for disabled people, that we're still going to be locked in our homes for as long as it's safe to go out. So while a lot of people are celebrating getting to go back into real life, that's not the reality for a lot of people. And so yeah, just being cognizant of that it doesn't end here, but we can take what we've learned in this time period and understand the fear that so many people live with every year.
Well, yeah, because in the article you also mentioned how you actually contracted H1N1 when that was happening.
Yeah, so that was I got H1N1 after the school nurse sent their daughter to school with H1N1. And I never was like hospitalized or anything, but I spent like about 3 weeks at home. And I understand, like, I went through that pandemic and like firsthand experienced it. And that was obviously awful. And I did have a pretty like mild case of it. But it's not something that I want to ever go through again, obviously.
That's fair. I'm also just wondering, you're a journalist, and you're now the features editor at the UBC, is that correct?
Yeah.
So how has COVID impacted your work as a journalist?
Pretty dramatically. I do a lot of freelance work. And a lot of those projects were killed or are on hold till whenever the pandemic ends. So a lot of the stories will no longer be any sort of relevant in the next, 6 months to a year that they may come out or may be killed at that time. But probably the most dramatic thing is I was supposed to be an intern at the Edmonton Journal this summer. And I was laid off like 5 days before I was supposed to start, but already had a lease, so I had to move. So I'm in Edmonton
Oh, that's
with no
horrible.
job. Yeah.
You're
So
not from Edmonton.
no, I've never been here before, but I live here now.
That's actually really funny
Yeah,
in
it's
like a
like
dark way, obviously.
oh yeah, it's like a sitcom just like gone wrong, you know? It's like has to move across the country in a pandemic for no job.
Oh, that's almost worth it for the story. Like, I don't know, it's pretty funny. Yeah. You may disagree.
I mean, it's not been ideal, but it definitely could be way worse. And I do feel like extremely grateful that my first big layoff happened when there are so many like financial supports in place.
True.
Because I'm sure I would have gotten laid off anyways a different time, and learning how to navigate that with like a financial safety net has been really, really great. Working at the embassy, obviously everything's online now. Transitioning to how to run an entire paper via Zoom has been interesting. And trying to get content and volunteers when they've never met half of us.
Yeah.
So it's definitely changing, but, you know, there's still work out there and still stories to be told.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you bring up financial supports, obviously. You know, there's CERB and various financial supports provincially because of COVID. I'm wondering, are you able to get CERB, or are you getting disability assistance? And maybe you don't want to tell me. I don't know if this is an appropriate question, actually, as I ask it.
I don't get disability benefits.
Okay.
So I'm able to qualify for other things. Okay. But I know that there's a tension there with how much you can get from CERB and how much disability payments normally are.
Yeah, this was a segue for me to rant about how disability assistance is much less than CERB. And so I was just wondering if you were getting that less amount. But I'm glad you're getting CERB. It's much more adequate. You know, everyone's talking about this new normal. You brought up how, you know, the economy is opening up again across Canada. Maybe it's maybe at slightly different stages in different provinces right now. But as we approach this new normal, what are you hoping we'll learn from this pandemic to make it kind of a better normal?
I mean, I think one of the biggest things is, as we talk about like financial inequalities with different benefits, recognizing like how much people actually need to live, as well as recognizing that like any job you can work from home for the most part is what we've learned through this. So if someone who's like disabled or immunocompromised needs to either work from home full time or for extended periods of time, I think we've proved that that can be a sustainable model. And that shouldn't be a deterrent from hiring someone who maybe is qualified in all other respects. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big takeaway, and just also like compassion of like what it must be like to be terrified to go to the grocery store, or as everyone else gets to, you know, start going to restaurants or cafes, know that there's this large group of people that there is not really an end in sight right now for, that they're like living in this quarantine without the like hope that this is all going to open up for them in a relatively soon timeline. So I think just recognizing that while there is this dominant narrative, there's this other group of people that's like just completely left out from the stages. And how can we continue to support these people as everyone else's lives kind of normalize again?
Yeah, well said. I guess before I leave you, like, is there any work you're doing right now, any stories you're working on that you recently published or will be coming out soon that we should be on the lookout for?
I'm working on a piece for Canada Land.
Oh, great.
That's coming out soon that I can't really talk about what it's about, but it's coming. And other than that, all my work's been killed. But I have some cool features coming out for the UBC soon as well.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, once again, thank you so much for chatting with me on such short notice.
I hope that was eloquent.
You're very eloquent.
thank you.
Yeah, so thank you. And if you're interested in listening, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed. The interview you just heard was conducted by me, Alex DeBoer. Special thanks to Bailey Martins for her time. The song you're hearing is Bus at Dawn by Blue Dot Sessions. Take care.